Our scripture this morning comes through 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to a flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows the favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, Ecclesia. It's so good to get to be here sharing with you, if you're watching from your living room or wherever you may be watching, as we continue in these virtual services. We are on the final stretch of our study of Peter as a person and also his writings in the book of 1 Peter. I don't think before this I had ever done a deep dive on the life and teachings of Peter, and it has been both encouraging and convicting to learn from. In our scripture teaching for today, we land in the last chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 5, with Peter sharing instructions on how to shepherd God's flock. Before we get further into that, I have to tell you about my affinity for open pastures, the lush meadows that come to mind when I think about this shepherding imagery. I've always felt a certain draw to the idea of the agrarian lifestyle and can't drive past a field of cows without smiling and pointing them out. Yes, I'm one of those people. 5 years ago, when my husband Luke and I were making a plan to celebrate our 10-year anniversary with a trip, we threw out some ideas like Puerto Rico or Sausalito in the San Francisco Bay Area. But when all was said and done, we found ourselves on a sheep farm outside of Asheville. And I absolutely loved it. I could sit on the patio of the little house we stayed in and watch the sheep graze on the hillside and come right up to the fence where we sat. This was wonderful and beautiful, but it was a little troubling and awkward, and I felt a little bad when the sheep happened to come up at the same time that we were grilling lamb right there in front of them. We had bought some from the owner of the property, the farmer of the property, and it was delicious, but also awkward, and I still feel a little bit bad about it, that they had to watch that. The reality is that I love the idea of the setting that comes to mind with farming and likely shepherding, but I would never actually want to do the work. I want the green pastures without the dirty work involved. This is all to say that when I read and hear shepherding imagery in scripture, I'm drawn to it. There's a picture I paint in my mind, and it makes me grateful that the writers of scripture use these literary devices like imagery to teach us and instruct us. It's here with the imagery of shepherding that we find ourselves in the beginning of chapter 5 with Peter's words. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. As Peter begins this exhortation to the elders, which is to say the older leaders that are teaching and guiding in this faith community, he shares from a place of solidarity. Peter acknowledges himself as a fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ. He was a firsthand witness to Jesus' suffering. And so Peter, of all people, was qualified to speak and instruct. And yet he still didn't center himself and make it about him giving commands here. He made it about, which only adds value to the words he speaks next. He encourages them to be shepherds of God's flock with a willing, loving eagerness. Now, leadership to us, just like it would have been to those early Christians, is often correlated with power and elevation of status. But this way of leading as a shepherd is something completely different. Once again, we see an invitation into a new way of thinking and acting. On the ladder of success, shepherds were nowhere close to the top. They didn't hold power, and at the time that this was written, shepherds were looked down upon as being unskilled and maybe even suspicious. Like, who wants to spend all this time out in a field with animals? Maybe you're running from something, and it was a job that people who were on the lower end of the economic status would have had. So while shepherding was common and something that they were all familiar with, it wasn't a sought-after title that most wanted to identify with. Now, before this chapter, in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, Peter says, "The end of all things is at hand." Now, we can easily misunderstand this sometimes when we see these kind of words in Scripture to mean that the world is ending, all is lost, the end of life is at hand. And maybe in some parts of Scripture that's true, but a fuller understanding of this language is that the way of life as it once was is at hand. Jesus has ushered in a new way. The end of life as it has been has shifted, and the new kingdom is here. When Peter names Jesus as the chief shepherd and identifies the role of these leaders as shepherds as well, it is a reminder that this way of leadership is altogether different than what they would expect. It's not a glamorous title or a way to power. Peter references Jesus as the chief shepherd, and Peter saw firsthand what this way of shepherding had cost Jesus. It had cost him his life, and yet as his disciple, Peter also knows that this way of leading and shepherding had a profound impact on him as a person. Now, while I mentioned earlier that Peter is writing these words to the elders and leaders of the church, he doesn't call them leaders, but shepherds. In his commentary on this passage, N.T. Wright says this about the distinction here between leading and shepherding. What Peter is describing here is not leaders, but shepherds. And the point about shepherds is that the best of them aren't thinking, how can I be a shepherd, but how can I best look after these sheep? The act of shepherding is not about us at all, but about the care and needs of the sheep. If we begin to think of shepherding as a means of control or power, we only need to look at some other passages in Scripture that use the shepherding imagery as well, and it paints a clearer picture of this role of the shepherd. Isaiah 40:11 says, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." And in one of my favorite passages, Psalm 23, we hear, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." The way of shepherding that Jesus gives us is full of love, kindness, humility. He is the example of what true shepherding looks like. It's important that we remember here what CJ talked about last week. Peter is writing this letter to Christians who are facing extreme persecution. The threat of violence being done to them was very real, and in turn, the cost of identifying yourselves to the teachings of Jesus was great. This meant that they were likely dealing with a lot of fear and worry. Knowing this helps us see why this role and these encouragements to shepherd the flock were really important to the elders. In the other reference of shepherd, in other references of shepherding in Scripture, it's clear that shepherding didn't mean forcing or practicing dominion over a weak lamb. Instead, the language of the other shepherding passages in Scripture makes the primary focus on caring, nurturing, protecting. In Psalm 23, we read, "Your rod and your staff comfort me." It doesn't say your rod and your staff beat me into submission and force me to follow you out of fear. Instead, God calls us to follow him with care that helps bring comfort in the fears we face. This is the kind of shepherding I believe Peter was encouraging. It was about meeting the needs of the flock and not about trying to control the flock. In an earlier sermon from this series on Peter, back in the Gospel of John, we saw Jesus give Peter similar instructions on shepherding. In the exchange between Jesus and Peter in John 21, verses 15 through 18, we see Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend my sheep." So when Peter is sharing these encouragements with the other believers, he's passing along the same instructions that Jesus gave to him. He's saying that we show our love for Jesus by loving his flock, which is to say loving others. So while we see here that Peter is speaking to those leading in the early church, we can also see that if we identify ourselves with the way of Christ, we are joining him in this act of shepherding. Like Jesus spoke to Peter, "Feed my sheep, tend my sheep." Caring, guiding, and tending are part of our calling as well, whether we find ourselves in an identified and named role of leadership or not. It is about the call to shepherd. Now, as we move into this next portion of the passage, we see a call to humility in both leading and being led. Verse 5 begins, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." This portion of our scripture is key to the other part that we just talked about in regards to shepherding. The focus here becomes about the posture of our heart. How we lead matters. How we respond to being led matters. And at the root of it all, there is to be humility. We are to remember that we are both the sheep and the shepherd, not one or the other. The reminder that Jesus is the chief shepherd is crucial to us being grounded in humbleness. We are not the authority. We are caretakers under the authority of Jesus. As much as it can seem like this passage of 1 Peter is a call to leadership, I think it's more so a call to humility for all of us. As Peter speaks to the younger listeners, and his words are to submit to the elders, the instructions for humility aren't just for them. He says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. As both the one being shepherded and the one doing the shepherding, humility should be at the center. If we focus on the shepherding part without tightly holding on to the call for humility, things will inevitably turn sour. We are all accustomed to seeing leadership done without humility. And even more notably sad is when we see this within a faith community. Now, you may have heard of something called the shepherding movement. On the name alone, it sounds like it would be promising after this passage we've been studying. I came across more about this shepherding movement in my study of this passage, and it was a movement that began out of some denominations of the Christian faith in America, and it was basically a hierarchy of submission and authority. It was a method of leadership and discipleship that grew out of the charismatic movement and reached its peak in the 1980s. The basic idea began with five leaders at the top of this global leadership pyramid. Red flag. I think we can all agree that that already sounds like it might have some problems. Now, these five were responsible to each other for one another's spiritual health within this covenant relationship. And these five men were called shepherds. And under them were five more people responsible to each other, but who also then submitted to the authority of the ones above them. And so on down the line. It's not hard to see how this could divulge into something unhealthy, right? What started out as maybe something with good intentions for accountability and discipleship became a legalistic structure of damaging abuse of power that was not based on scripture or the way of Jesus. The role of the shepherd in this structure became the authority voice of greater importance to people under their leadership instead of the Spirit of God within them. Now, there was accounts that some people would go to their shepherds for advice on who to marry or what job to take or if they should make this move. And even if they were feeling one way about this within them, they listened to the voice of that person, their shepherd. That mixed the messages of them trusting the spirit within them. And many of the original leaders of this movement have since admitted their regret and mistake at the way they set up and carried out this shepherding movement. So when Peter is encouraging them to shepherd God's flock, his emphasis on humility can't be forgotten. Without humility and leadership, our ego will take over, and true shepherding that leads us in the way of Christ can't take place. Now, perhaps you've witnessed firsthand or even been on the receiving end of leadership in a faith community that doesn't match this way of shepherding we see Peter encouraging in our passage. And maybe because of this, you've put up a wall or distanced yourself from the idea of Jesus as the good shepherd. I saw this quote from writer Carlos Rodriguez this week that served as a good reminder for me and I think is fitting here. Don't allow your frustration with Christianity to ruin your awe with Christ. In the church, meaning like the big C global church that we are in, all part of in the Christian faith, we are always going to see this call to shepherd done poorly. People will disappoint us and unfortunately hurt us, and we may do the same. For all of the ways it is done lacking humility, let it not distort our view of Jesus. Despite the hurt done in his name, he is still our good shepherd that we can trust to lead, comfort, and guide us, and he will never fail us. Even in the garden, on the night before he would be crucified, we see Jesus in anguish as he is confronted with the reality of his suffering and death. And in Matthew 26, verse 39, it says, "Then Jesus went on a little further away from them. He fell to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, don't make me drink from this cup, but do what you want, not what I want.'" Jesus, our chief shepherd, our example, chose humbleness and submission to God's plan for the sake of love and redemption. He met the needs of the sheep before his own desires. This is our good shepherd. He is the one we can look to always. As I said earlier, we are both the shepherds and sheep. We have people in our care to shepherd, to love, and to lead. We also, within a faith community and under the leadership of Jesus, are sheep who need guiding. Shepherding is always rooted in love, with the humble awareness that we are also the sheep being shepherded by a loving shepherd, Jesus. Peter quotes Proverbs 3:34 here. To show humility is essential to our relationship with God. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Pride and humility are enemies. Pride demands and humility lays down. Humility helps us remember our place under God's authority and that we too are sheep who need a shepherd. Now, a thread that I see weaving Peter's exhortations for shepherding and practicing humility together is this thread of community. It's showing us what an integral part community plays in our spiritual formation. Writer Robert Mulholland Jr. says, "Spiritual formation is the process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others." Our being formed in the image of Christ isn't just for our gain, but for the good of others. Community is part of our formation. To be taught and led requires humility, just as shepherding from a place of love requires humility. And each of these can only be practiced and lived out in relationship with others. Now, our community for us includes our relationships and body of faith here at Ecclesia, but it may include your community of friends and family and coworkers as well. Think about how you are either leading as a shepherd or responding to being shepherded in those relationships. Is humility at the center? I want to speak to parents specifically for a minute. To think of this role of shepherding within the context of your relationship with your child. As parents, we have a place of authority and leadership with our kids. But do we need to embrace more humility in that role? Are we shepherding them in a way that points them to the care Jesus has for them? Are we remembering our own need for grace when we make mistakes? I know that for me, parenting is a role where my ego and power can easily take over because I just want them to do what I say when I say it. So I say this in solidarity, to not forget the role of shepherding that you have right within your home. Now, I hope for all of us, this passage stirs us up to remember that we are both the shepherd and the sheep. And I hope that there's two questions we can ask ourselves as we think about this passage and what we've learned from it. The first question is, how are we letting ourselves in humility be formed and led in the image of Christ? And two, how are we participating with humility to shepherd and help form others in the way of Christ? The final verse in our passage says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Can we stop to imagine the stress and worry the hearers of Peter's words felt at this specific moment in history? Can we try to understand how these leaders who are being encouraged to care for the followers of Jesus in the midst of persecution must have felt? In it all, Peter says to trust Jesus with all of your fears and worries because he cares for them. Those words are for us too. The burden is never ours to carry alone. These instructions for living are done in the care of our good shepherd. Let's pray. Good shepherd, you know the propensity of our hearts to worry and fear and to want to forge our own way ahead. Thank you for leading us in love. May you help us to clothe ourselves with humility as we take on our roles of shepherding, that we will do so with the same care and humility that you have shown us. Lead us in the way of truth and goodness, that we will follow you, that we will be shepherds and sheep in this new kingdom that you've established, that isn't about power or gain or getting our way, but about caring for one another and following your way of love. Amen.